One of the yanim, which we often talk about, is shalom bias, but it's often talked about from hashkafa perspective, which makes it sometimes hard to put into practice. As the Mishnah Berurah says, the best way to be shomer Shabbos properly is to learn hilchos Shabbos. So the same is true by shalom bias as well. It's not enough just to have ideas, but it's actually addressed explicitly in the halacha in a number of places. So by learning the halachas of shalom bias, we can also be shomer shalom bias much, much more effectively. The connection to this parsha is where do we find actually in the Torah that does talk about shalom bias? Are there any halachas about it? So one of the few places, there are halachas, but they're tangential for the most part. Shalom bias gets put in, you know, in relation to another halacha. One of the places where it's explicit in the Chumash, it seems, the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Mem Aleph, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, that he says a person's aser to marry a woman unless he sees her first. Why? Because if he marries her without seeing her first, and then when he meets, he's not happy with the way she looks, then Shemitah's gana love, that'll become a pressure upon him. He'll be increasingly unhappy with the way she looks, and it'll cause a rift in shalom bias, and that would be a violation of a pasuk in this week's parsha, v'ahav t'l'reicha kamocha, that you have to love your fellow man like yourself, and kal v'chomer one's wife. So anything one does which will lead to a break in that relationship is a violation of v'ahav t'l'reicha kamocha. With that in mind, I think it's kedai to go through a few shalom bias in yanim. Rav Zilberstein and Shiri Torah LeRofim, in his farm on medical shilas, he was asked the following question by a psychologist. Obviously, psychologists, psychiatrists, they're often faced with situations where they learn a lot of confidential information. So he had a case where the psychologist asked him, he was dealing with a child who was having issues, and it came out via the discussions with the child, the treatment sessions, that the family was dysfunctional, that the parents did not get along at all, there were severe shalom bias issues, and that was affecting the child as well. So the doctor asked Rav Zilberstein, in this case, he thinks he can treat the child without treating the parents, meaning he could give the child the tools he needs to prosper on his own, but does he have a chiyuv to also intervene with the parents? Now that he knows that there's a problem, does he have a chiyuv to help the shalom bias of the parents as well, even though they never asked him to do so? It's also a pasuk in this week's parsha. Where do we find that you have a chiyuv to intervene when you see people are having difficulties, are in trouble? Lo samad al dam reyacha. You can't stand idly by your fellow's blood. So how far does that mitzvah go? When we say that you have to intervene, proactively intervene without being asked into people's situations where they're suffering, how far does that go? So the Chafetz Chaim addresses that shaila. He writes in number 2, he's talking about a case where if you happen to know information that somebody's entering into a business deal or hiring somebody that is going to have a negative economic impact on them, and you have a choice. You can either save him by speaking Lashon Hara about the person he's entering the deal with, or you can not speak Lashon Hara, but thereby engender the trouble he's going to be facing. What do you have to do? So the Chafetz Chaim writes, "V'nirli demechuyim min hadin lahagid lo." You do have to tell him. You have to say the lashon hara. V'ray mimad degarsin b'sanhedrin minayin l'ros chaver torei benar list abanlov. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, "Where do we see? From where do we know that if you see your friend drowning in the river, or he's being attacked by violent robbers, that you have to intervene?" Talmud lomar lo samad adam reacha. Fine, you can't stand by and watch him get hurt. And the Chafetz Chaim says, "V'huva dinza b'choshem mishpat sim tav chafav shetzach leilech legalos osno bazem." That you have a chiyuv alts to lo samad adam reacha to come and inform the person about what's happening. Vein lidchos, and don't tell me, well, lo samo doesn't apply to our case. Why? There he's in physical danger. And that's why you have to go and say whatever lashon hara you have to say in order he can guard himself. But when you're not talking about you know, imminent physical harm. We're just talking about economic consequences. Maybe the Torah did not permit you to do Isurim, like speaking Lashon Hara, in order to save the person. Zeino, that's absolutely not true. Dari Issa B'Sifra, V'huva B'Sifra Mitzvah San Rambam, Shehalav De Lo Samo, that this prohibition of Lo Samo Adam Re'echa, Kolo Nami L'Kovish Es Eduso B'Inyam Mamo V'Eino Magilo. So the Gemara learns that it even applies where if you know testimony for somebody and you don't say it and he loses money because of that, that's also a transgression of Lo Samod Adam Re'echa. So we see from this Chavetz Chaim actually that the parameters of Lo Samod Adam Re'echa are very, very broad. They're not just mamish life and death cases. They're really any time somebody's in a state of duress, potentially is going to suffer damage economically or physically. And certainly that would be true for a Shalom Bayis Inyan as well. It's certainly no less than an economic situation. And Rebbe Yashiv Zatzal paskened this way as well. So if we look at number three, it's he wrote, Rebbe Zilberstein quoting him says, Amnam kasher hasikhsuch eino charef. Rebbe Yashiv said, let's say the psychiatrist, he gets a good handle on the situation of the parents. And he sees that it's dysfunctional, but it's not crazy dysfunctional. It's not a sharp, division between them. It doesn't deviate so much from a normal couple. Everybody fights, right? It's going to be a matter of degree. How far does it go? So if it's within, it might be at the extreme, but within still what we would call a normal parameter, then you definitely should not get involved. A lot of times getting involved can make something worse, and if they're healthy enough, then you don't want to risk that. Ulam, however, rivitzini, if you see there's a serious dysfunction, there's serious arguments going on in this family, that definitely could be dangerous. And there's no way for us to properly determine with any kind of specificity, how far the situation could deteriorate. When people are in, a bad relationship, they can fall into depression, and that does have a din of pikuach nefesh. But gam la agmas nefesh halul of go bebriya. Also, just if a person lives an emotionally downtrodden life, that can definitely have an effect on their health as well. And therefore, what halacha would we apply here? The psychiatrist is tasked from the Torah to intervene because of Lo Samod Adam Re'echa, even though he wasn't asked to do so, even though the parents most probably don't want him to do so, but if it's truly a serious situation, because of Lo Samod Adam Re'echa, he has to do what he can in order to alleviate and bring them to a better place. Fine. Another Shaila. There was a Maisa with a Yid in Europe. His name was Avram Pinchas Landau, and he was a big Shtadla, and he was in charge of, he was on the Chavar Kedisha and with the Gemach, and every organization he seemed to be a part of, and not just a part of, but an essential part of. He was a businessman, a Baal Bus. Everybody loved him, though. But his communal involvement got to the degree that he wasn't paying attention to his business so much, and it began to slip a little bit, right? There's only so many plates you can juggle at once. So at that point, his family started getting concerned, right? When they see that the money's not rolling like it should be, then you have to have a conversation. So his family said, listen, you have to, it's great mitzvahs you're doing, but, we need to live also. And there's Yerusha, and there's this and that, all the financial concerns. Cut back a little bit. Don't stop, but at least pay attention to your business. So he didn't know what to do. When a person has a communal mindset, it's very hard for them to pull away and focus on something seemingly as mundane as business. So they kept petering him about it, and he decided he was going to go ask the Chafetz Chaim for an etza about what he should do in his specific situation. So he went to visit the Chafetz Chaim, and when he went there, he was invited to the Chafetz Chaim's house. The Chafetz Chaim was eating, and the Chafetz Chaim had a minhag that before he benched, he would say a shtukl dvar Torah. So before Rav Aaron Pinchas even asked a question. He was just sitting there waiting, you know, for his turn. He overheard the Chafetz Chaim saying a short Devar Torah. And that short Devar Torah was, the Chafetz Chaim was talking about the Pasuk in Tehillim, that Ach Tov v'Chesed Yirdefuni Kol Yemei Chaya, that Tov and Chesed has pursued me all the days of my life. So what does that mean, that Tov v'Chesed Yirdefuni, the Lashon of Radifa, of pursuing, is one of violence, a rodeh for somebody who's you know, chasing somebody to hurt them or to kill them. So what does that have to do with Tov and Chesed? Tov v'Chesed Yirdefuni? So the Chafetz Chaim answered, he said that every person in their life, they have a certain redifa that was goes on them, meaning Hashem decided how much stress and trouble they're going to have to experience in their life. And there's nothing they could do about it. There's no way to escape that. You can't avoid it. Hashem said, you have to go through this tension. The question is, what form is that tension going to take? So Devan HaMelech was davening to Hashem. He said, Hashem, if I have to go through a redifa, I have to be pursued and have to go through this tension, let it be from Tov and Chesed. Let it be because, in my attempt to do mitzvahs, it's hard for me. Make the redifa a positive element. So I'll suffer tension, but at least it'll be in a good context. And I'm trying to do something good. So Rav Aaron Pinchas, he had his answer. He didn't even have to open his mouth. Okay, there'll be tension, but let it come from Tov and Chesed, from the pursuit of Tov and Chesed. what happens when Shalom Bayis, on one side, seems to be interfering with our attempt to do good on the other side? So one of the classic cases where this comes up is in Hachnasas Orchem. A lot of times, we have people we want to invite for a meal, and a lot of times the people we invite, the people we need to invite really, are those who are somewhat on the outskirts of the community, either for religious reasons, emotional reasons, the people who it's most important to bring to the table. But those are also the people that our wives are the least likely to enjoy having at the table. So what do you do in such a case where your wife, she says, I don't like when we have those guests, and she doesn't enjoy them, and yet you know it's important that you should have them. This is not a new problem. This goes back. This goes back all the way to the Chumash tells us to Avram Avinu. If we look in number 4, the Gemara of Bava says, "Ksiv by when Avram's inviting the guest into the house, and Sarah's preparing the food for them." The pasuk says, "Kamach uksiv solas." It writes flour and it writes solas, which is a very fine flour, a very good flour. Amar Yitzchak mikan sheisa Sarah ina baracha yosem anish. That Sarah changed the way she was preparing the food. She took it down a notch. She went from the solas to the kamach. Why? Because a woman is not as amenable to having guests as the man is. So it's a situation. So what should you do in such a situation? The Indian of having guests is not just a nicety. Although that's the way we treat it, it's not true. The Indian of having guests is, for those who need to be a guest by somebody, it's actually quite a severe chiyuv. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeah, when talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah, writes like this. Number 5, mitzvah asal itein tzedakah kifi hasagas yad. You have to give according to your ability. V'kama pamim nitztavinu ba. And many times we're commanded to be mitzvah saseh, v'yesh lo saseh, b'malim eno mimena. That there's also a negative prohibition. It's not just doing a good thing. There's also a prohibition involved if you don't do it. That you shouldn't clench your, close off your heart or clench your fist. And if you don't do the tzedakah when you're supposed to, the chesed, when you're supposed to, nikra b'li'al, you're called somebody without the yoke of heaven upon you. Ukilu oved elilim, as if you worshipped idols. You have to be exceptionally careful in these mitzvahs, because it could even come to life and death situations, that the ani who's requesting the handout or the meal or the invite could die. If he doesn't get that immediate yes, it could have tragic consequences for that recipient. Running out of time, the the Chafetz Chaim in Avos Chesed number 6, he equates Chesed, which certainly includes Hachnasas Orchim, to Tzedakah, and he says Chazal taught us that Chesed is even more important. And we see even halachically in number 7, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about them when Yidden build a town, they're able to force each other to build certain things like a mikvah, a shul. And one of the things that they're chayiv to do is to set up a gabay tzedakah to take care of the aniyim in town. And the shach number 7 adds on chayiv l'ham kuli vayikofen zezel lahachnis lamorchem. They can force each other to take guests. It's a mamish achiyev, like a real financial, you know, communal obligation to accept guests when necessary. L'chalik lem tzedakah, and also to distribute whatever funds are necessary to make those people who need the invite so, you know, comfortable. So this is a hard shayla, and it doesn't have a clear line. But the two tzadon of the shayla, shalom bayis on one hand, and the absolute chiyuv to have guests who need it on the other hand, is a real tension. Reb Zilberstein here leaves it as a tzarchian just because it's going to be very situation specific. You really do have to ask a rav, but it's not a loosey-goosey, you know, like hashkafa shayla. It's a real halacha shayla. There's an absolute chiyuv in both directions, and how you figure out those two opposing chiyuvim in your specific situation, I say l'charav, a person really has to be, don't let it go. Be inspired to ask the shayla, and then do accordingly. Okay. One more point, the Rambam, a third shayla is, and this is a common shayla, can a person have their in-laws come and live with them? Oftentimes, a person wants his mother to visit, his wife doesn't like her mother-in-law, so what if she wants to live there with them? The Rambam addresses this explicitly in number 8. He says, "Ha'omer li'ishto ha'im etzoni she'evo le'vesi avicha v'imecha, achicha v'achiyo secha." That if he says to his wife, "I don't want your relatives living with us," shomen lo v'tiyahi holechas lahem kishir lahem davar, she's allowed to visit as much as she wants, but he has the right to say they don't have to live with us. V'teil chaves avia pam b'chodesh, she can go once a month, or kol rego rego, and every yom tov, v'lei kansu heim lo ela miro la davar kagon chol yaleida, they can come. Obviously, the husband doesn't have the right to say no if she just gave birth or if she's sick. Shein kofes ha'adam, she kansu heim b'shuso. However, in general, though, you can't force somebody to live with people who they don't want to live. V'chein hi, she has the same right. She'amrei imatzani, she kansu etzli yimecho v'ech yosecho. That she says, "I don't want your family living with us. I don't want to be in the same, you know, courtyard with them. They cause me agmas nefesh. So shomen la, we listen to her. She has the right to say, your relatives are not welcome here, and you have to listen to her. That we don't force other people to live, in their rishus, which is unique to them. The Rashba there, you can read it on your own, speaks about cases where the man wanted his mother to live with them, and they were in totally separate houses, but there was like a hole in the fence, and the mother-in-law would be looking to see what the wife was doing. And he said, no, she has the right to say, you're not allowed to do that. But that is a call based on the Rabbanim. They have the right to back up the wife that anything they feel will affect negatively the shalom bayis in that situation, the woman has an absolute right to say, not for me. And she doesn't have to feel bad about it. Her marriage, her family, her sense of well-being comes first. And Mirza Hashem, in our own focus on shalom bayis, repairing the shalom that we have with each other, after Re'echa Kamocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also fill us amod adam Re'echa. He will see the amount of care we're putting in, and he will respond reciprocatively and take away all the threats of violence against us.